The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings. Here at Bar Canada at the D, it's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jordan Sherwood talking UFC with us. Thug Rose is in action this weekend, Kelly.
Yep.
Oh, I just like saying Thug Rose. Rose Namajunas.
This is one I didn't have to, I didn't even have to see Jordan's bets to
he's all over Thug?
Yeah. Oh. He always is.
Does she still call herself Thug Rose?
I don't know. It's a good question. We'll have to ask him.
JP Acosta, NFL writer for SB Nation. He will join us as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a man who not only has he been invited to the Hamptons, but I think he almost grew up there. He's the Bear from Fox Sports. You know him as Chris Felica. That's Chris Felica on Twitter, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's got Bear Bets pods up the wazoo. Every sport you can imagine. What's happening, Chris?
Yeah, I did grow up. I grew up in East Mauritius. That's my hometown, Allen Island. And I did go to high school in West Hampton. So, yes, I am from the area. So, I have been to the Hamptons before.
All right. So, Kelly and I were just, you know, Paul Carr's going to D.C. It's that time of year, right? I'm going to D.C., by the way, too. Jason Weingarten is going to the Hamptons. And we're always like, we've never been to the Hamptons. Is it all it's cracked up to be, like that part of the Hamptons, the fun side? Is it worth going to?
Oh, it's nice, yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Some areas are a little elitish. I can picture Jason in like a seersucker-type suit there.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe hair back in like a bun. And go to the polo match.
Polo
match. There you go. See, like this is what we were talking about, Chris. It doesn't really feel like one of us would go to, say, book a hotel room at the Hamptons. But like, if you got a rich friend of a friend or something who invites you to their place in the Hamptons,
J-Lo invites
then you. Go.
You go. Right.
Absolutely. No. It's a fun area. There's a lot to do. Some really cool bars and restaurants, and the water is great. And it's a definite socialite scene, though.
Okay. You also now, with the soccer tournaments winding down, you're coming here next week. I'm not going to be here. Sorry about that. And then you're going.
You did that on purpose.
I was like, when is Felica here? And then what are you doing? You're going back to L.A.?
Yes. Yeah, I'm coming into Vegas on Monday. I was just texting with Matt Humans as well. I'm going to pop on by and see him and get my green jacket from the Circa Friday Football Invitational from 2022, which will be good. I'm gonna rent a car and I'm gonna go to Arizona and take advantage of a nice little bonus that one of your competitors offered me. So hey, if you're gonna offer me up free money, I'm gonna take advantage of it.
I'm glad you're renting a car, because otherwise he would steal mine.
And did you say you're coming here to collect the jacket from the 2022 contest?
Yes.
And you expect this to still be around here?
Humans gives out a green jacket for winning that thing?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yes. Good for you. All right. So
maybe I'll wear it on my podcast week one.
Maybe you should. That's right. So you got a great life, man. So he's going to L.A. for his American football meetings at Fox. Yeah. Then what, during the season, during college football season, you go to New York to do, and then you go to New York and then to game day?
New York and then to Big Noon, yes.
Big Noon, pardon me.
Thursday morning, get in the car, go down to New York, and then fly out of New York on Thursday to go to the show, yeah.
Big Noon, pardon me, that's the name of the Fox show. Okay.
It's okay.
By the way, a lot of people...
It's easy to confuse about 25, 26 years worth of work.
Yeah, I just want to say this, and just between you and me, way too many people on the desk at Big Noon. Way too many. It's very awkward. They're like this far away from each other, Chris.
Okay, well, maybe we need a bigger desk.
Yeah, I think I'll have to get
with our ops people.
You need a bigger desk. You do. Okay, soccer first.
Put a bigger desk for me on there, too.
It's true. Copa, are you betting the third place match at all?
No.
You're not.
No, I am not. It's just hard for me to imagine who is going to be motivated to play that. The knee-jerk reaction is to play over both teams to score. You would think Canada would probably be a little bit more invested in wanting to finish third as opposed to Uruguay, who lost 1-0 and played an entire half a man up and couldn't score and get that game to kick. So, but until I see evidence of that, I'll be staying far away from it.
Okay. Because we keep getting tweets. People are like all about the third place match. They are convinced that Uruguay is just not showing up for it, and Canada 5-1 is a great bet.
Well, that's the automatic. That's the initial reaction, and that's probably the way that if you were going to go into this and play it, yes. But there's also this scenario where Uruguay just goes full bore and exposes Canada's defense and puts up three or four. I feel much more confident about both teams to score or an over 2.5 or whatever over three than I would Canada plus five. But I totally wouldn't argue against anybody playing that and say don't play it.
All right. Sunday night is the Copa America final between Argentina mm-hmm. and Colombia. Argentina, Colombia. What do you got here?
Yeah. It feels like, I sound like a broken record, but under 2.5. If you look at Argentina's five games so far, all five have gone under 2.5. If you look at Argentina in the Copa Finals that they played, the last three that they played, they have not conceded. I think it's a very tightly contested match, and I think you're going to see something similar to what we've seen from Argentina throughout, and something similar to what we saw the other night between Colombia and Uruguay. Colombia has actually played very well defensively as well. I mean, there's a reason why they're undefeated in 28 consecutive matches. So it feels like an under 2.5 to me. I get the side. I get those who are liking Colombia, and good luck to Paul Carr with that nice future that he has on Colombia. It just feels like one of those, if you weren't there at the baptism, you don't want to be there for the funeral. So like, as someone who doesn't have the Colombia future now, I don't want to hop on them right now and see that they lose potentially to Argentina, because the Argentina were the last team to beat them. And if you look, it's in the last like 15 years or so, Argentina, Colombia, it's one win, seven losses and four draws for Colombia against Argentina. So historically there is a significant gap between the two countries, and we'll see if Colombia can keep this going. But the only play that I am officially going to make here is under 2.5. And also remember, for your handicapping here, this match would go to extra time. They don't go straight to kicks for the final, so you would have the two 15-minute periods there.
The one Copa America exception is in the final. They will play extra time. Okay, Euros 2024 earlier on Sunday. It is England and Spain. I hope it's not too soon, but I just want to send out, I poured out a 40 for your Netherlands future. Yeah, I felt so bad for you when that penalty was called, dude. That was awful.
Yeah, it really was. And I love the people out there who are like, oh, it's a clear, obvious penalty. Clear and obvious. Okay, the official didn't call it on the field standing right there.
Come on.
Essentially, everybody on the pitch went down the field expecting a goal kick on the other end. I just wanted somebody to ask Harry Kane post-match how he was able to muster up enough strength and heal and be able to take that penalty, because it looked like it was the end of the world for him. It looked like he was going to have to get stretchered off and subbed out early. But the fact that he was able to just muster up the strength and miraculously feel better and take that penalty and stay in the game, it was amazing. But yeah, well, it sucked.
I'm glad I don't hear any bitterness in your voice whatsoever.
Took a great penalty, too.
It was an unbelievable penalty.
Yeah. Your announcers didn't even consider it for the first 45 seconds to a minute that it was a penalty.
No, they didn't.
Yep.
And neither did the people I was watching the match within the room, including two who were rooting for England and another one who was a keeper at the highest level. And the keeper at the highest level had some choice words to say about when they went to VAR to look at that. So,
by the way, that was that was the equalizer in the game between England and the Netherlands at the semifinals. Yeah. No guarantee that the Netherlands would have won, but certainly that made it easier for England.
Yeah, it changed it. But looking ahead to this match, again, I think, look, if you look at the last couple of finals, they've all gone to stoppage time. 9 of the last 10 Euro finals have gone under 2.5. Again, you sense a pattern in these finals, in these high-stakes matches, that they're tightly contested, low-scoring. Both England and Spain trailed 1-0 in the semis, 1-2-1. Neither has conceded more than one goal in the tourney. So all the evidence is there. So I'm going to be playing under 2.5 here, and I'm going to be playing draw. I think this has extra time written all over.
Wow.
It's what England is going to be shooting for. They're going to try and just take the steam out of this match against a side that clearly has an advantage on the wings athletically with Amal and Nico Williams. So I think we're looking at under 2.5. I think we're looking at draw, and we'll see what happens.
All right, plus 185 on the draw between Spain and England on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. By the way, could you do your hits with us from this studio every time? This is great. Perfect audio. Just want to let you know.
If you fly me out to L.A. I can do it from this studio every
no
week.
No problem. All right, before you go, 60 seconds. Can you give us a season win total on the way out?
Yeah, there were two that I played this week. I played Iowa State over 7.5. If you look at the Big 12, so many of those teams are just the same. You look at 1 through 6 or 7 or whatever, and there really isn't that much difference at all. I think if you look at Iowa State last year, playing Rocco Beck to quarterback, all of the youth that they have, Jalen Noel is a really good wide receiver, and they have another young running back who came in and replaced Breece Hall, and there's really no drop-off whatsoever there. You know that John Hickok and his defense are always going to be good. So I played Iowa State over 7.5. And then in Arizona, I played under 8. You lose Jed Fish and that coaching staff and the support system that Jed Fish and they had there at Arizona. He's now up at Washington. But I know that they have got Fafita. I know you've got T-Mac at receiver. But the defense, I'm not sold about. You're moving into a different league. I think Arizona really surprised last year and overachieved. I think under, if you got 9 to beat me, I'll take my chance. So I went under 8 with Arizona as well.
Christopher Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica on Twitter. El Oso, the bear. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Thank
See you.
Much. Chris Felica, everybody. Coming back with JP Acosta. Talk NFL from SB Nation. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures, props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you'll need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game or a new graphic if you're watching it.
That gets you 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Peter Watry, regarding third place match, the South American countries rarely get their teams together. Most of their players are playing in Europe or Asia by that time. One more chance for magic experience together. Okay. Jason H11, time for an ANG road trip to the claw machine. Dollars for doobies. Stephen Enright, Stephen Enright, thank you for doing the math. If we were in algebra together, I'd barter with you for help. He's referring to me figuring out that Medvedev only needed to win 2 games there, and he did, and we win.
Yeah, whoever tweeted that in, I had to think along with Gil talk. It was like, wait, what? Yeah, oh, yeah. That does add
13,
up.
13, yeah. 22, 32, yeah. Man. Yeah. And then New Jersey, New York. When I grow up, I want to be Jason. Very simply put. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the show, and we're thrilled to have him. Kelly had the opportunity to talk to him this past weekend, yes?
Yeah, great conversation on Live Bet Sunday with Ben Wilson.
With the great Ben Wilson. Have I extolled the virtues of Ben Wilson to you before? Oh, that guy's going to be.
Once or twice. He's filling in for you a few times next week.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, the Eagle slander's coming.
That's right.
I'm referring to JP Acosta, NFL writer for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Acosta32_JP. Let's get that right again. Acosta32_JP. JP joins us now. JP, what's the 32 for?
Okay, so 32 is actually pretty fine. I made this account when I was in high school playing football, and 32 is my jersey number. All the data got wiped. I got hacked like a couple of years ago, so nobody can find my my huddle highlights on social media, but 32 is jersey number in high school.
Oh, gotcha. Sure. Yeah, nobody can find my huddle highlights either, JP. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. All of our great athletic achievements. JP, appreciate you coming on the show. Let me ask you a broad question first, and I've asked this of other guests here in the offseason, but I'll ask it of you, which is give me the NFL consensus opinion. And when I say consensus opinion, well, anecdotally, what you've heard, just sort of, you know, going around NFL circles, what's the opinion that is commonly held about a team, you know, either to the good or the bad, that you just cannot get behind? That you're just like, yeah, I hear all this about this team, but I don't really believe it.
That's a great question, actually. I think mine is, I am still not fully aboard the Eagles rebounding yet. And the reason is because Kellen Moore's offense is so different from how it suits a quarterback like Jalen Hurts' skill set. I think for as much as Brian Johnson last year, the Eagles play caller, got fired this offseason, as much as his situational play calling was bad, he was still running the same offense Shane Steichen ran that helped Jalen Hurts almost win MVP and get them to the Super Bowl. So I really do wonder what this offense under Kellen Moore is going to look like in Philadelphia with a quarterback that he has not had a lot of experience in working with. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and Justin Herbert are all – Jalen Hurts is not the same type of quarterback as Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert. I think Dak and Justin Herbert are a little bit better in terms of processing, in terms of the short area and being better against the blitz. But where Jalen Hurts makes up for that is he is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, and he's also a major plus in the run game when healthy. But I really just cannot get behind, fully behind the Eagles being back yet, especially because the offense is going to take a little bit, especially after losing Jason Kelce. And the defense, while they did get younger, I am curious how the Vic Fangio thing works out, because the last stop Vic Fangio had, players like Javon Holland were literally posting videos of themselves kicking rocks after Vic Fangio got let go by the Dolphins. So I have a lot of questions in Philly.
I'm actually with you on that, JP, but I also then after the comma, because I share your skepticism, but then I say to myself, they still could win the division even with that opinion, right? By acclamation, if the Cowboys can't get it together in the year that Jerry won't pay anybody. Do you view it that way, or do you think the Cowboys are the clear favorite?
I still think the Cowboys are the clear favorite. I think the Eagles are one of those teams that will probably end up getting one of the first playoff spots. But I really do think, even though the Cowboys have had a really weird offseason, I think through the draft, they really shored up a lot of their offensive line issues. I think, however you want to look at what they are doing in this offseason in terms of for the future, the Cowboys have not really planned for beyond 2024. What they are planning for is they're going to put all their eggs into the 2024 basket, and if it works, cool. If it doesn't, then we're probably going to see a new Cowboys team in 2025. But I'm making this bet on the Cowboys based on Dak Prescott still being one of the NFL's best quarterbacks and Mike Zimmer continuing to be a really good defensive play caller. I think the hiring of Mike Zimmer is going to keep that defense at a high level, but it's also going to raise the play of the linebackers, because Dallas's linebackers were not great last year, both due to injury and depth and the fact they had to play a 205-pound safety as a linebacker, which it's all fun and games until a 330-pound guard is hitting you in the mouth every single play.
Yeah, okay, so speaking of coaches, since you brought up Zimmer, let's talk about the new NFL head coaches that have been hired around the league. And I know there's no way that we can say this with any certainty here in July before a season starts, but in your circle and going around with these coaches, just on a hunch or what your instincts tell you, what is the best fit? What is the coach that you feel could make the greatest impact here early on?
Early on, I think the best coach that'll make the quickest impact, I think it's Raheem Morris in Atlanta. I think the fact that he has been there before, I think the staff that he has hired, bringing Zach Robinson over with him from Los Angeles, who I think is going to be the next big thing when it comes to being an offensive coordinator going straight to the head coaching pipeline. Zach Robinson is next up. He is a fantastic sequencer, play caller, and scheme designer. Bringing Jimmy Lake over is a really interesting fit. I think Jimmy Lake had a lot of problems as head coach at Washington, but he is really good at developing defensive backs, which is what Atlanta needs. I think their personnel has been really good addition-wise. And then, you know, this is the season. This is the team. You know, this is the year Atlanta has to go make something with this talent that they have.
Pardon me for the screaming in the background, JP. We have a situation here at the casino, so apologies for that taking place here behind us. Last question, I'll put you on the spot here, because Kelly was telling me that you actually had a season win total opinion over the weekend. Did you want to share that with us?
Ooh, season win total over the weekend. I think it had to do with the Jets. And the Jets are one of the weirdest teams to me in the league. I think they could go all the way to the Super Bowl, maybe, but we're playing a lot of hypotheticals with the Jets. So I'm leaning more towards their under than what their win total is now. I have so many questions about the longevity of their offensive line, of their receiver, Mike Williams, and of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, last time he played a full season, was not the Aaron Rodgers that we thought of, and now he's coming back off a torn Achilles at over the age of 40. So there's a lot of questions there. This seems like a team, like I said this earlier, this defense could be the best in the league, but the offense still has a lot of questions, not even including Nathaniel Hackett, who may not be a great offensive coordinator, who might just only be there because he's Aaron Rodgers' friend. So I'm taking the under on them.
All right, JP, I leave you with this, and I know this is a completely unfair question, but it's the one that we in you know, the betting world sort of don't ask each other ever, but I want to ask you this. Who ultimately, do your instincts tell you are in the Super Bowl?
Ooh, okay. So I think the Chiefs go back. I think the Chiefs go back from the AFC. I made the mistake of picking against the Chiefs last year, and then they made me look dumb. So I'm not going to do that again. I think they still have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. And even though they lose Legarius Sneed, they're able to retool and replace in that cornerback room. And then from the NFC, I'm actually going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay.
And all right. The reason I'm going with the Packers is making a bet on their offense being the best offense in the league.
Okay.
I think
JP,
the way they finished last season.
I got to run. I apologize for that. So, we're on the record. Green Bay and Kansas City. Thank you, JP. Great meeting you. We'll come back. UFC next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, cheating death, segment by segment. Everything okay over there? Everything okay?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. That was a little worrisome.
I was ready to defend your life.
Poor JP. First segment ever, and he's got screaming.
I know.
This was so bad. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some UFC. UFC fight night this weekend, tomorrow night. Thug Rose in action. We bring in our buddy Jordan Sherwood to discuss and to handicap. And, of course, Jordan, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast at ESPN Chicago, at Wood on ESPN 1000. What's happening, Jordan?
Everything is good. Yeah, it's exciting to talk a little UFC because it's in front of a live crowd. You know, we're moving away from these Apex fight cards, which don't have as much notoriety as when you're in front of a live crowd. They love the fights in Denver, so it should be pretty interesting to see these fights that take place tomorrow night.
Can I ask a silly question? We talk about elevation whenever we talk about sporting events in Denver. Does this apply at all to this?
100%. I mean, you have to handicap that, especially like in a fight with the opener with Hassan. You know, he is a guy that has struggled with his cardio before, taking on a wrestler in Cody Brundage to open up the card. So you factor that in. And then in the main event, which we'll get to, like, look, Tracy Cortez is taking this fight on short notice. Yes, she was preparing for a fight that was going to take place a week later. But now she has to, you know, change her body, change her mind to be prepared for fighting at elevation. And it is a real thing in particular against a fighter like Rose Namajunas that is known for her cardio and lives and trains, you know, at altitude in Denver. So she should be the favorite, as you see there on the screen, and, you know, almost over a $2 betting favorite. And it's definitely a factor if you think maybe Rose Namajunas can take over, because she had been preparing for a 5-round fight at elevation prior to the opponent change.
Do we still call her Thug Rose, Jordan? That's all I want to know. Do we still call her that?
Yeah. I mean, look, that's her nickname. And here's the thing, and here's how I'm handicapping the fight. Like, I think, like, if you're going to have a fight name like Thug, like, you're a finisher. Like, you're going out and finishing people and, like, you know, dominating. And look, she's a former champion, different weight class, but former champion, one of the best female fighters we've ever seen. But, like, she's outpointing fighters now. Like, she's kind of fallen into that role of, like, you know, being that type of fighter. And I expect the same. Tracy Cortez is a tough out, even though she's taking this fight on short notice. She's only been finished one time in her mixed martial arts career. That was her first fight as a pro, so prior to her stint in the UFC. And yes, Rose Namajunas does have some finishes in her career, the knockout of Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the knockout of Wei Ling, but I don't see it happening. I think this is a 5-round fight. Rose is going to keep it safe, maybe work in some grappling. Some people have argued late finish, so that submission prop for Rose at plus 800 is juicy, but I think the safer play is Rose to win, and Rose to win via decision, so I expect her to dominate for 5 rounds.
Yeah, because Cortez was expecting a fight with a wrestler, right, initially, with a grappler here?
Right, exactly, and a week later and not at altitude. So,
yeah.
You know, and certainly Rose has struggled with people that maybe wanted to take her to the ground or bigger fighters. And I, like I said, look, she's fighting up in weight. This is her third fight now, you know, up at flyweight. She was the strawweight champion of the world. She was the bigger fighter typically at that weight class. She doesn't have that same size advantage, same power advantage. Tracy Cortez, not one of those bigger, you know, flyweights anyways, but that's certainly a factor too when you talk about the grappling.
Okay, so you're on Rose at minus 235 and Rose via decision at even money in the main event here. You mentioned Brundage and Al-Hassan earlier, so did that trigger a bet for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether they were fighting it at altitude or they're fighting down in Florida, like, whatever, I don't care. Both of these guys are kill or be killed type of fighters. Brundage is a wrestler, as I alluded to, good overhand right, has had some controversy, you know, in the octagon before, where he was losing a fight, had an illegal elbow hit him, and he took the DQ win. But Al-Hassan, killer on the feet. You get that guy to the ground, he's going to struggle, and he's going to struggle with his cardio. So I think, you know, something's going to happen. It's going to happen early. We just saw in his previous fight, Al-Hassan struggle with cardio. I expect the same. So either Brundage is getting an early takedown and getting a TKO or submission finish within a round and a half, or Al-Hassan is going to land one of his bombs, because he's a very powerful striker. He's got a lot of knockouts on his resume. So I don't expect this fight to last very long. Brundage Al-Hassan under 1.5. Not necessarily on a side either way, but definitely just on the round total, under 1.5, $1.50. I think it's a smart play.
Yeah, if you're watching at home, it's under 1.5 rounds, not a fifth of a round or anything. My bad.
Our graphic is poor. Yes, that's right. It would not be under a fifth.
That could have been my fault on what I was texting Kelly anyway. So it could have been my fault. Kelly was just, you know, rinse, you know, pasting.
Oh,
and
shut up.
Copying.
It's my job to check that stuff.
These guys go way back. Palm Beach, baby. Okay. By the way, the greatest thing ever is hearing these guys talk West Palm Beach radio gossip. It's fantastic. As it's been explained to me, maybe the most interesting matchup on the main card is this Dober-Silva matchup. And correct me if I'm wrong, because Silva ends everything in the first round, right? Like, he destroys people in the first round. But I guess the interesting part is, if it gets past that, then what happens? So it's Dober and Silva here. Almost a coin flip, right?
Yeah, a couple of interesting things. This is also a short-notice fight for Silva. He fought 2 weeks ago at UFC 303, looked really impressive in a knockout of Charles Jourdain. So he comes in, takes this fight on short notice. Originally, when it opened, when the short-notice fight was booked, Dober was a big-time favorite, nearly 2-1. Now, as you just alluded to, Gil, it's a pick-em. I think that's recency bias, because Drew Dober's been doing this for quite a while in the lightweight division. He's a powerful, probably one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful striker at 155. That dude packs a punch. He's kind of a kill or be killed type of fighter as well, a round and a half fighter. So why is it now pick him? Why is all this money flowed in on Silva just because of that recency bias? He looked impressive, 2 weeks ago. Dober is a killer. I think that this fight's going to end before it gets to the judges' scorecards. And I think that Dober, he's fighting in front of his home fans. You know, he trains and lives in Denver. He's used to the altitude, but so is Silva. Silva's from Sao Paulo. That's got similar altitude, so doesn't have to adjust too much in regards to that. But I think lately what I've heard is the money on Silva, because Dober's going to come in looking to be impressive, and he's going to be susceptible to a counter, and Silva's going to end the night. But either way, I think this fight ends in a knockout, either Dober or Silva getting their hand raised with a TKO KO finish.
Wow, I'll watch that. I like to see something quick and violent. Speaking of line moves, when they got rescheduled to Rose, to Namajunas and Cortez, didn't it come out, Jordan? Didn't it open as a coin flip?
Like
I think
they were certainly shorter than they were prior. Obviously, Tracy Cortez is undefeated in the UFC. She's on the rise and potentially considered a future title challenger. But, you know, the short notice nature of it is scary. I think a lot of people also question, too, like Rose Namajunas' mental state. She's always one of those fighters that, like, how is she thinking? Is she in the right mind space? She wasn't in her debut in this division. That was a loss to Manon Farreau. But since that point, you know, Namajunas bounced back with an impressive win. So I'm not surprised that it opened up the way it is, but the money should be on Rose Namajunas. She's just a better overall fighter. Tracy Cortez is not proven yet. Maybe this is her coming out party. Every fighter has one at some point. That she deserves to be in the title consideration at flyweight, but I just don't think. I think it's too much too soon, and especially, again, the short-notice nature of it.
Yeah, Rose all the way up to minus 218 once again. Rose, who grew up, Kelly, on the mean streets of Milwaukee and now trains in the elevation of Denver.
Yes, obviously. And now she is a thug who intimidates the judges, not the opponent. That's what I learned today.
Interesting. You have one more on the main card, Jordan, before you run.
Yeah, I think this is a showcase fight for Gabriel Bonfim against Angulusa. Bonfim was humbled his last time out, had his first loss. He was unbeaten, but then Nicholas Dalby, you know, took advantage of an overzealous Bonfim. But here's what Bonfim does. He submits people. He gets people to the ground and you know, wraps an arm, wraps a neck, and gets a rear naked choke or something like that. I think Lusa is prime for that, a guy that hasn't shown great takedown defense and submission defensive capabilities. And at plus money, a guy that a specialty that he does best, you can get at plus money at plus 115. Gabriel Bonfim beats submission to bounce back and get his 16th mixed martial arts victory. I like that tomorrow night.
All right, so we got five plays. Rose on the money line, Rose via decision. Brundage Al-Hassan under 1.5 rounds. Bonfim versus submission, and then Dober Silva. Either way, whoever wins it, under 1.5 rounds. I'll do the horrible thing to close out here, Jordan. If you had to pick one, like, which one of those do you think you like the best of the bunch? Which would it be?
Yeah, I do. Of the plays, yeah. I think it's the Bonfim via submission. I think, look, they see a future star, this guy at welterweight. He does what he does best. And again, as I mentioned to you, plus money. There's not a lot of confidence in Rose because of those mental issues at some point. It's a short notice fight. Bonfim does what he does best, submitting people. And at plus money, if you can get it, that's what you should grab.
What did you think I was going to ask you there?
I thought you were going to ask me for a West Palm Beach question, history question. Where was Gil going with this? Or a White Sox question, which I have to be prepared for at all.
Jordan going to the White Sox game tonight. Remember, double result. Win first five, lose game. There you go, Jordan. That's from
Enjoy.
Me to you. Enjoy. Jordan Sherwood braving a White Sox game tonight. Good baseball. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada, Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. By the way, Kelly, my flight leaves in 1 hour and 58 minutes.
You're a psycho. Just a psycho.
How about you do the promo after the show today?
I will. Okay. Yes, I will. You can get out of here.
That thing you see flying on the freeway, that'll be me.
Gil and I take very alternate approaches to arriving at the airport. I'm the guy who shows up way too early, has a couple drinks in whatever bar.
Yeah.
Maybe I've missed a flight once because of that. Maybe.
I wouldn't do it normally, but it's the only direct to D.C.
Oh, yeah, you're going to D.C.
Yeah, yeah.
So you either got to go red-eye or early in the morning.
Like Vegas is not the easiest place to get out of.
It's not.
Yeah.
You only got, like, if you're going East Coast, you usually got, like, two or maybe three flight windows.
Still doesn't beat the South Point thing, though. South Point, we'd get off at 9 a.m., 10:15 flight, I'd be on that baby to L.A.
You got to give a little time to get out of downtown for yourself.
Yes, yeah. By the way, Carlitos is in the finals. Carlos Alcaraz beats Daniil Medvedev in four sets, 6-7, 6-3, 6-4, 6-4. So Carlitos now awaiting the winner of the Djokovic-Musetti match, which is about to start. So we hit the over pretty easily in the Alcaraz-Medvedev match. I have Musetti plus 6.5 here in this match. And again, in what has otherwise been a disastrous tournament, hopefully it ends with a nice little silver lining, and it certainly started with that with the plus 377 dog yesterday on Krejcikova. So I have Musetti plus 6.5 games here against Djokovic, and I have Krejcikova in the finals against Paolini tomorrow. That, again, available at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, that's where all of their picks are.
I really wish he'd start going by Carl Alcaraz already.
Carl. Do you remember, who was it, my man on when he played for the Browns, then he played for the Raiders? Carl Nassib, is that his last name? Who's the defensive lineman now? Yeah. When the Browns were on, Carl Nassib.
Nassib. Yeah.
When he was on the Browns and they were on Hard Knocks, and they were doing who names their son Carl? They're like, Coochie Coochie Coo Carl. Carl was a popular name when I was growing up.
I've had those conversations before. Yeah. Like in 2024, nobody's naming their kid Larry, Fred.
Oh.
Sorry. Larry's off today. Sorry, Larry's Larry. Off. I didn't mean to get you
called. No, there's so many names from my childhood that Douglas, Kevin. Do people still get named those anymore?
Kevin, I think, is probably still out there. Frank.
Okay. Frank is before my
Everybody's got an Uncle Frank. I've got an Uncle Frank.
Yeah. You could do this for ladies too, right? Joan. Yeah. These don't exist. By the way, speaking of Hard Knocks, so they're doing three Hard Knocks. Right now, the Giants, so it's an off-season, the standard Hard Knocks classic right before the season, and then the in-season, which has been going on for a few years now. Which, by the way, the Dolphins last year in-season was great. So the Giants off-season, this is the first ever quote-unquote off-season. I get that the classic is off-season too, but that's during the preseason anyway. This is super-duper off-season. The Giants are being featured. Then the Bears will have Hard Knocks classic this year.
That's right.
And then in season, I think it's the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's the Ravens. Because my guy Owen told me.
Are you going to judge me like a lot of other people do that I don't really watch many of these anymore?
No, because I will tell you this, that Hard Knocks Classic, the standard preseason version, has kind of sucked the last few years.
So and that's the one that I'm like, I don't really care to watch anymore. Just because
bounce out after an episode or two.
Well, for those of us that work kind of, sort of in the same kind of business, right? Like, it's the same formula over and over again. And I get it. Like, yes, you get some great stories from these players and stuff that you wouldn't know about otherwise. I'm just kind of tired of the formula.
Well, I want to recommend the in-season one.
Yeah, that's where I'm –
The in-season one is great.
Yeah.
Like, you really get a sense of the coach week to week preparing for games. The Dolphins one was outstanding. So I would really recommend the in-season one. Plus, they did that quarterbacks one. Was that Netflix?
That's Netflix. And then they're doing receiver this time around, I believe.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was great too. So, but I'm with you that the standard old Hard Knocks format ain't working anymore.
And it's just it's not for me anymore. It's just not for me. It's still great. It's awesome. Yeah. If you love it, I get why you love it. I loved Hard Knocks for so many years. Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns one was the greatest ever. The reason I bring that up, I brought it up because we're talking about Carl Nassib and the Coochie Coochie Coo Carl. Cleve, our buddy, was watching the Giants one, and he tweeted about it. And I'd forgotten that this was on. And he actually was gleaning some stuff from it. And he's like, he goes, the coaches, great. He was like, Daboll, he loves. But he said the front office of the Giants, he was I want to find his exact
words.
Did you catch? You can go find it. He said they're horrific.
I saw it on ESPN. They replayed it, but the GM talking to Saquon.
Oh no, I missed that. I didn't see that.
Oh, God, it was so awkward, and I should have the sound ready for this if we were going to do this. But this, it was like the him telling him basically of like, hey, we're going to let you go test the free agency market. But he was like on the phone with him, and he's like, yeah, like, you know, you should really go test the market out there, but like, you know, come back to us. You know, if you don't find anything, like, come back to us. We want you here, yada, yada, yada. And you're like, wait, what? Like, who talks to someone? Like, you're not offering him a job. You're literally telling him to go out there and find a new job for himself. And if he doesn't end up finding anything, come on back for way less money.
Here's Cleve T.A.'s review of the first episode and the second episode. First episode, he said, watch the New York Giants Hard Knocks. As a football nerd, I absolutely loved it. Can't believe a front office would allow it. Not going to lie, the Giants front office didn't really impress me. I like, is it Shaney? But their free agent running back and defensive lineman evaluations were awfully generic. Zero advanced data, almost talk show level fluff. Maybe that was intentional for the cameras. Meanwhile, a team in the position like the Giants absolutely was fine to let Barkley walk, and he goes on about that. But here about episode two, he says, updated after episode two. Brian Daboll, stud. Love everything he's about in his coaching and personal skills, chops shine. Giants front office, yikes. Even worse after the second episode than the first. Just any lack of sophistication in how they handle the offseason and discuss players. You could have told me Shane was a random dude plucked from Twitter, and I'd believe it. Wow.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch it.
Yeah, that Saquon conversation was one of the most awkward things I've ever heard.
Real quick on the
Paul Skeens to start the All-Star game.
He's going
to
start because the other guys are hurt, right?
Oh, okay.
So that's why he's starting. Yeah. So Paul Skeens starting the All-Star break, and I hope you heard earlier in the part Tom Tango chiming in on why he didn't think Skeens is a good bet for Cy Young still. But he will be starting the All-Star game now, and that'll be cool. Rookie starting the All-Star game on Tuesday. By the way, Michael Montesano just sent me a whole thing about, like, he's mapping out Skeens' starts to see how he can get to 150 innings. Tango saying that's very unlikely earlier on the show. We mentioned that.
I have two options for you here to finish up the show in a couple minutes.
Uh-huh.
I have a funny Josh Allen video from golfing yesterday that
sure.
I could run for you.
Sure.
Or would you like to talk about the future of Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, future of Wheel of Fortune.
What a shocking story I stumbled upon this morning that's been out for like a year.
So Kelly sends me this story. First of all, I had no idea that Ryan Seacrest is going to be the new host of the Wheel of Fortune.
I had no idea either, which apparently they announced like a year ago at this point, and he's going to take over this fall.
Does that guy say no to anything?
Apparently not.
Okay, so he's 49 years old. He wants to make, Ryan does, wants to make the Wheel of Fortune younger, which at 49, with Pat Sajak out the door, I guess is making it younger.
I caught that comment as well. But, like, I took that more as, like, we need to attract a younger audience. Are they really looking for a younger audience on the Wheel of Fortune?
Yes, like you and I are going to watch the Wheel of Fortune. So, anyway, they want to replace Vanna White with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And supposedly she is considering this.
Why wouldn't she consider it?
I mean, the visual, sure, that'd be great. Seeing her turn, because you have to turn the letters at some point, and you have to face the letters, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, could be
that
awesome.
That works out for a lot of people. Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about it this way. Let's go.
Well,
Seacrest Kardashian.
The hot goss that I tweeted you this morning was that there's some chemistry issues between Seacrest and Vanna White, because Vanna White for right now is still hanging out.
I have interviewed Vanna White before, by the way, when I was doing morning radio. Yeah, and I asked her if she had ever turned over the wrong letter, and she said one time it did happen.
Only once?
One time it happened, yeah. I asked her to cheat. Spiral into drugs, depression, and alcohol, and she said no.
I would have thought it would have happened more than one time.
Yeah.
But if you do her job, once you do it once.
Do we have time for Josh Allen real quick? No?
Yeah, we got time for Josh Allen.
Golf. I have not seen this. Josh Allen golfing.
Funny live TV moments.
Funny.
Let me see if I can ask Josh real quick a question. 1 second.
Oh, okay. It's going
in. Josh.
Godspeed. Good luck.
Josh, do you have 1 second? We're live on Sacramento. Just how great is it to be back here in Tahoe?
Are we live?
Yes. No. We're very live right here.
Very live, Josh.
I didn't get it.
He just deadpans the camera. Oh. He's just screwing with the reporter.
It's like that Arsenio Eddie Murphy thing that I always talk about. Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy, best of friends. And so one time Arsenio had Eddie on, and he would ask him this elaborate question. It like it took like 20 seconds to ask, and then Eddie would go, "Yes."
Exactly. That's what the other reporter's like, "Oh, we're live. We're like, are we live?"
That's awesome. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next best bets on the picture side. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.